the kuntras that we've been learning. It's on the 8th page, page Tav Kuf Ayin. On the bottom right hand side where it says Dalet. We left off last week, we were talking about Ashir L'Hashem B'chayai, Azam L'Lokai B'Yoidi, meaning that we see that in davening, that David HaMelech is teaching us that not only do we not have to run away from the animals inside of us and the animals that surround us, meaning those darker impulses, but in fact the purpose of life is to draw those parts of our being into that song, into the song of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of Avodas Hashem. And we're continuing on the bottom of Tav Kuf Ayin Ayis Dalet. We move quickly because we only have a few weeks left, and we have to spend at least 2 weeks on some techniques al pi chasidus to strengthen our simcha. Ayis Dalet Vayetzim Afata Yisom Shanachshav Tomish Zehak Kol Dover Echad. He's explaining that the Yetzer Hara is constantly trying to persuade us, to trick us, to confuse us, to think that HaKol Dover Echad, that all is one. What does it mean that everything is one? Means that part of that better part of me, of who I want to be, and the darker side of my life, and the things that are pulling me away from holiness, that it's all one thing. That's me. And the result of this is that even after we've been zeichu, we've been worthy, we've been able to see progress and improvement in our avodas Hashem, as anachnu nivholim mishtoimim mikasha onu roim shadayin anachnu maleim mikaychus mishichus netiyas ladvarim shveilim pchusim biyaisa. We're shocked and we're astounded to discover within ourselves, after years of what we viewed as progress in Avodas Hashem, we're shocked to find these old, ugly midas and other things that are once again making their way into our what appears to be out in our neshamas. Shanachnu mamish misbayishim sheyesh lano oid eiza shaychus u'mashicha leim. It's embarrassing that we still have any kind of a connection, or that we're even attracted or drawn to these things. Vaydezen nigrim lano atzvus v'yeyush v'rifyayim. And the result of this is that a person evaluates himself and finds himself, after all the years of being in yeshiva, or of being in seminary, and learning and growing and raising a family and so on, we find ourselves still connected to those darker, uglier things. So it brings to sadness, despair, and rifyon, which means weakness. Ki im anachnu chayshrim sha'al yedei hayesayrus v'schaskas v'avedis Hashem anachnu yuchayim l'hagiyel amatzav. The mistake that we're making is that we think, and often we're taught in school, that when you finally reach a higher level of Avodas Hashem, you're not going to have these things pulling you. The animals are going to be all dead. They'll be gone, or captured, or whatever it is. So we're brought up thinking that this eventually is what's going to happen. So im kein be chol pam shanachne rom shi yesh lanu adayin mishicha tshuka netiya mishaychus de chol tvar meila. So that what happens is that when we discover that we still are interested in some of these things, and we're still connected to some of these things, azay hayetzim mefata yisanu shezeh yiror lanu kikishla, then the Yetzirah convinces us and persuades us to believe that this is a sign of our failure. Veheder hatzloch and our lack of success in being Jewish. Unefila v'chisarin. Shahrei lo'olam einu nachnu mesigim es hatachlis shelonu. That we have lo'olam einu anu mesigim. We haven't reached the tachlis. The assumption being that the tachlis is that I no longer have any struggles, and that everything will begin to be beautiful and wonderful and nice. And this is the type of religion, by the way, that born again Christians are always selling. You know, to escape the confusion of life and the ugliness of life, join us, and there'll always be some attractive young lady and some handsome young fellow on campus. And if you join one of our meetings, you will enter into that state of bliss, just like all of us have, together with some alcohol and other and other artificial aids, right? You'll join us in this wonderful feeling of bliss. And many of us actually believe that Yiddishkeit offers the Jew this state of bliss that Eastern religion or that Western religion, Christianity, offers their followers. This is a shekem ineyubay. This is a misrepresentation of Yiddishkeit. This is a lie. The truth is that being a religious Jew means davka being in a state of war. It means davka the struggle. And not only is it not an indication that there's something wrong, but what we're learning is it means that you're at Eved Hashem. You're serving Hashem. The greatest indication that you're not a servant of Hashem is if you're in a state of bliss. Now, every once in a while we have that, you know, like by a ne'ilah, or by a nice Shabbaton, and maybe by a good Mizmor LaDavid. A person can feel that by a certain niggun that draws us into that momentary state of bliss. But in general, this is not the way of an Eved Hashem. The way of an Eved Hashem is that it's constantly struggling. Avol ha'ikar hu l'das shehatachlis shel kol tikun hamidos. On page Tov Kuf Ayin, second column, second paragraph. Avol ha'ikar hu l'das shehatachlis shel kol tikun hamidos. The tachlis of all of the work that we're doing with our midos. V'kol shviras ha'tayves, and trying to break our taivas, our desires. He bechlal lo lahagil matzav she'en yosem l'chomis. That's not the tachlis. It's a mistake. The tachlis is not to come to a point where we no longer have any problems. That is just not our religion. It's not the tachlis. And if somebody has told that to you, if you've ever heard that somewhere in school, that is simply a misrepresentation of Yiddishkeit. And I would like to find one Rebbe or one teacher who would swear that he's in that place or she's in that place. Where I've reached that madrega of libi cholol bekirbi, I no longer have milchamas. I've already overcome all of this. I was just discussing this with somebody the other day, who was telling me one of my bachman from shul was telling me that he's having a hard time. He's a very very elicha fellow, and he was in his house. They have a television. He tries not to watch television. He's a real yeshiva bacher. However, he's a die-hard Met fan. Even though I have a problem understanding how anybody could be that, but nevertheless, he's a die-hard Met fan. And he grew up, you walk into the house there, they still have all the souvenirs and the banners and the pennants of those those years of when he was going to all the games and so on. So he was almost in tears telling me that even though he tries to, he stays all the time in the basement and he tries to learn and he's involved in Avodas HaKodesh and preparing for his exams that he has for school. But occasionally, when somebody in the family is watching a Met game, and only that, nothing else, he finds an excuse to go upstairs, that he decided that he was thirsty and he has to go looking for soda in the fridge. Ben Kach, he's already upstairs. He might as well see how his brother's doing in the next room. Oh, the Met game is on. Mimela, he watches an inning or two, and he was almost in tears telling this to me. And I told him that a student of mine in Eretz Yisrael, who was learning for many years by Rav Scheinberg's Olga Zonzain, is well known, and he was there when Rav Scheinberg said in public, that's why it's allowed to be repeated, that Rav Scheinberg said in public that Ad Hayayim, it says it's been over 60 years since he heard a Yankee game or was at a Yankee game. He was a big Yankee fan. He says it's already 60 years. That's from the days of Lou Gehrig and Babe Ruth. And Ad Hayayim in the yeshiva, says if he's walking in the hall or someplace and he hears two bachurim talking about the Yankees, Rav Scheinberg says he leans a little bit to try to hear what's going on. Ad Hayayim he tries to hear. So I said to this bachur from the basement in Woodmere, and you're so tzibrochim that you're still interested in the Mets, that you still are drawn to such a thing, which in general, amongst the typists of our generation, it's one of the least harmful, right? So, this is a mistake. It comes from this thought that I'm supposed to be a complete person, and I'm supposed to, when I finish this inyan, then I move on to the next inyan. I believe that I mentioned this to you last year, that there was that in yeshiva, I hope it wasn't this year, maybe, I don't know, that there was a, that when we were in yeshiva, there was a fellow that was really, really careful, everything with Lashon Hara. He was makbid in Lashon Hara. He carried around all the time the Chavos Chaim Svarim, and you couldn't even talk. You know, anything you said, you were afraid that he'd catch you on something. You were so afraid. So there was a Ben Azman, it was Yantiv, and he came back, was sitting the first day at the table by breakfast, and he says, not a passable Lashon Hara, he says, mamish, a prosta piece of Lashon Hara, open Lashon Hara. You know, and everybody was shocked, and we looked at him, and he realized what had happened. He said, you know, last month I was working Lashon Hara, now I'm working on Kaz. I'm working on anger. So, we left, and it was said in a self-effacing way that, I botched up. But that's the milchama of life. Just because you spent the last 6 months studying Chavetz Chaim and listening to tapes and so on, that doesn't mean that now you're finished with this struggle with Lashon Hara. That's an entire life. It's one's entire life. So he says this is a mistake. That's not the tachlis to come to the peaceful waters. That those are the born again Christians. Those are the ones who are offering that. While their own ministers who are offering it certainly have never left any of that taivas behind. Kiyadua. That's a mistake, he says. The reason we were sent into this world is to fight. Only someone who's finished with this world, only someone who's no longer in this world, is free of mitzvahs, meaning is free of those struggles. I will call Zman she Yehudi Chai, as long as the Jew is living, that means that he still has the schus. Lilchaim, to fight Lehavik over Ritzan Yisburg, to be one of the Baruch Shalom's warriors and to fight to bring his life into this world. To the extent that you remember this, your tachlis, as we were discussing last summer, same thing with being a parent. The tachlis, the mistake that we have is that we think that the tachlis is that it'll be just fine and the kids will be fine and everybody will behave and get the good grades and we'll be able to also live almei menuchas and live such a way. That's a mistake. He says, to the degree that we remember this is our tachlis, lizkais leha'ovek uleishtadl betikin amidus, that this is the purpose of life. Tikkun hamidus, lifting ourselves up. Ubez gabru salatayvus, b'chol yoyim v'yoyim ad ha'yoyim ha'achron mamish, to mamish the last day of life. Kizeh kol avaydus chayenu. That's the work of our life. Kach ein nivholim klal. A person who remembers that this is the tachlis does not become shocked or frightened or depressed or worried. K'shiroyim shadayin yeshlon avur ma'alich yais. When you realize that I have some tachlis still to go on living, there's a purpose in my life still. Because the purpose is not to be finished with the war. The purpose is to be a warrior. Therefore, why am I making myself miserable to discover that I still have a reason to go on living in this world? I'm not going to tell you the whole ma'isa, but there's a ma'isa from Avni Nezer. You heard of the Avni Nezer, the Sochet Shover. Sochet Shover was a goyin olam, a kodesh elyon. You might have also heard of his famous father-in-law. His father-in-law was Rabbi Mendel from Kotsk. So there was a ma'isa by Avni Nezer. The Avni Nezer's learning was spectacular. From the time that he was a child, it was something very, it was very unusual. It was the talk of all of Europe, and eventually the entire Torah world everywhere. So the Avni Nezer used to say, Chidushe Torah, he used to say, new concepts in learning, his ideas, from the time that he was a young man, in front of his future father-in-law, in front of the Kotzker. And afterwards, when he married the Kotzker's daughter, he continued to say chidushim, these ideas in learning, which must have been the most spectacular ideas that ever. So, when the Avni Nezer had said a certain chiddush, so afterwards, the Kotzker left, and he met the Avni Nezer's father, the Bialer Rav. He met the Avni Nezer's father, and obviously, the father of the Avnezer was very proud. And he said to the Kotzkenu, what do you think of Avramel? What do you think of Avramel? Meaning the Avnezer, my son? So the Kotzke said, this is learning. I've heard much better learning than this. And the Bialarov was very taken aback. And he discussed it with his son.
He discussed it with the Avnei Nezer. And the Avnei Nezer, the young man, wasn't at all upset about that. And Adarabba, he was besimcha. And afterwards, the father, the Bialer Rav, went to ask the Kotzker, why did you say that? And my son wasn't at all, I told it to my son, the Avnei Nezer, the Avramel, and he wasn't at all upset. So the Kotzker said, let me tell you something. On this particular day, your son Avramel had said such a chiddush that wasn't heard since the Torah was given in Har Sinai. And I was afraid, after saying such a chiddush, that God forbid he should have no reason for continuing on. After he revealed such an awesome Torah, I was worried that on some level they're going to be makatrig that it must speak. How much light can a Jew reveal in this world? So therefore, you'll excuse me, but I had to be mevatel it. And the Kotzker's way in general, you know, was like that. So you had to be mevatel that light. Why? To tell you that your son has many, many more years. He shouldn't think that he's finished. And he shouldn't think that he's finished. Because this is the tachlis of his life, is the govaita. The chas v'sholom, the bottom of the page. God forbid. To give in to this trick of the Yetzirah. What's another Yetzirah? This is one of the real frumi Yetzirahs. Rav Huttner was always upset about this. I mentioned it last summer. That we read all these stories of tzaddikim, and we begin to believe that from the very beginning of their lives, they were completely in charge, in control of all of their midas. They were perfect, and they had no taivas. They were completely pure from the beginning. Therefore, we're wondering, after reading all the stories about the Vilna Gaon, the Chafetz Chaim, the Shai Gesai, the Baal Shem Tov, and so on, we're worried when we detect certain problems in our six-year-olds, right? And our seven-year-olds. As far as we're concerned, it's very often we've already given up hope that we're ever going to be like that. And it seems to us from hearing about the tzaddikim that when they were from the time that they were children, they were right away, they perfected certain things, they reached those higher midregas. So we begin to think that if we're not immediately successful, if we don't feel like shoveling away the snow, you know, at 5 a.m. for everybody on the block, or after hearing some shiur or something about the midah of some, you know, some person, some great person, and that Magid Shir telling you or asking you, haven't you done this yet? You know, haven't you gone to do this? And you're thinking, I haven't done it. Not only that, I can't stand my neighbor's guts. And I would never, to the best of my knowledge, I would never even want to do such a thing. And you walk out feeling, you know, I'm the biggest maneuver in the world, because the most basic expectation of Hashem is that at least, I would be longing and yearning and craving to be like that person that was described in the shiur. Now, besides the fact that there are very few people like those who are described in the shiur, very, very few and far apart, even the person who's described in the shiur who might have done that, assuming that it happened, we don't know what that person had to go through in life to come to that. We don't know what his milchama was, what her milchama was. We have no idea. So what happens is that we see that we're not much liach, and mimele, we're very quick to come to the conclusion, if I'm not much liach, it means that I must be a what? A lo yutzlach. I'm a lo yutzlach. I'm such a person. Because I'm not much liach to be misgarbet. Take it from a yad. We just had started working on this inyan, and we see that we failed. So mimeila, I'm a lo yutzlach. Hari says, similar kishlan il chisar. Mimeila, I'm a failure. This is not only, by the way, in Torah mitzvahs. It's also when it comes to being a mother, being a wife, being a husband and a father. When it comes to anything in life, also at work, the nature of a person is to right away, especially if you're in a new place where you just got a job and you're starting something new, and you tried a little bit a day or two and it's not going and you're maybe criticized by somebody. So right away, you know, you feel like just you're going to quit. You never want to do this again the rest of your life. This is the wrong field. It was a mistake for you to have studied this for the last, you know, 20 years. You'll never be much lich, and so on. Next page, Mikirbam. Page Tovkuf Ayin Aleph. So right away we say, well, I'm not like any of those tzaddikim, obviously, that are described in the books. I'm not like any of them because they were matzliach, and I'm not matzliach. And they were matzliach very quickly because all the stories go from the time that they were 6, 7 years old, and I'm already much older than that. I don't have any hatzlocha.
And all the tzaddikim only had me this taivis and tahiris. Everybody was pure and holy, and all of the ones that we read about were 100% were fine. This is why it's a shame that the tzaddikim did not, usually we don't have stories of their struggles. There are very few that spoke about them. There are some isolated stories that we have. Rabbi Nachum Breslov used to talk about his struggles. We have a story from the Rebbe Elimelech Lubin Lezhensky that I wouldn't even say in mixed company, that the Rebbe Elimelech said about himself in a certain difficult day that he had. That was amazing that he said it. And it's brought down in the Sfarim. And the Talmidei Baal Shem Tov said it over, and they say it over. But usually, we don't read about what the tzaddik had to go through to become a tzaddik. All we see is the finished product. So we don't know. We never know. And therefore, we misunderstand, we misinterpret, and we assume that we never ever could be like those people because we're not like them. And it's simply not true. They also were not like them. They also weren't like that. We think the Chofetz Chaim didn't have to work on this inyan of dibur, of speaking. The Chofetz Chaim was by nature a very talkative person, ki yadua. He was not a quiet person, the Chofetz Chaim. He was a talkative person. And even when it comes to learning, this also is with a lot of the fellows in the yeshiva where there's such pressure on the boys, where if someone realizes that he's not an Eloi, he's not a genius, and he's not able to keep up with the sharper boys in the shir, so he teaches himself up in learning as being a layutzluch. Where you have tzaddikim like the Netziv from Volozhin, there are famous stories and others, or Pesach Kabrina, other great Rosh Yeshivas who became great Rosh Yeshivas, that by their own admission, when they started in life, had terrible difficulty learning, had tremendous difficulties in understanding pshat and in learning. But again, that's not the understanding that the average boy has in yeshiva. Therefore, many of them, when they realize that they're not as sharp as the next fellow, they begin to lose hope in that. And very often that affects their davening also, because davening is not something usually that brings a person admiration and respect these days. Or me, this taivis. You know, it's a nice thing, but it's not he's not a star, just because he's a nice boy. So many of the boys, without saying it, they're misyayish. They give up hope. And it shows up in everything in life. And that hope can often lead to despair. And that despair can often lead to one of the places in the streets that the kids are hanging out. Chas v'shalom. Now the Chiddush Harim is a genius. Sha'omer l'atzma. The Chiddush said about himself, Sha'ovad v'siyageya sheva shonim al'ayin toiva. The Ger Rebbe, the Chiddush Harim said that for 7 years he struggled and he worked to have an ayin toiva, a good eye, an ayin toiva, to see people in a positive way. An ayin toiva, I'm not going to go to that right now. An ayin toiva. Now, wouldn't you think by hearing any tape or any shiur that if you walk out from that shiur not having an ayin toiva, there's something wrong with you, yeah? The Chiddush Harim said 7 years he worked on ayin toiva. Umuvan shim Chiddush Harim omar shehu over al zeh. Azai zeloi hoya eze shtadlus kala ba'alma. So then you might say, well, maybe he really wasn't working too hard. Maybe he just meant that occasionally he tried to have a better eye. That can't be. Because all we know about the Chiddush Harim is that whatever he did with all of his being. Not only that, Elohu Avad al Zeb, called Kaycha Maycha, with all of his Kaychas and mind. That's what he taught and that's how he lived. Ad Mitzvah HaNefesh, the essence of his soul. Vafa Pikach Orach Leisheva Shodim Tmimis, Lavad al Ayin Taiva. 7 years he worked on Ayin Taiva. The Rebbe Pinchas Karis has said, I believe, on the Mid of Emes, he worked 20 years, to be honest. Which doesn't mean just not to tell a lie. He worked on the Mid of Emes for 20 years. The Rebbe Pinchas Karitzer. Afal Pisha Bavadeh Higila Darkes Atzumas Viniz Govah Shein Lodah Behem Asaga Kaldehi. Certainly the level that the Chedushim reached in Ayin Toiva is awesome and beyond our understanding. Aval Afal Pichin Harei Lonu Nirish Ayin Toiva Yesh Tano Daiva Hayser. So he says, no, it comes to people like us, so we might think in a different way. We might think, I'm a nice guy, I guess I think I have an ayin taiva. I must have an ayin taiva. In other words, we think that we finished the inyan of ayin taiva. I'm done. V'harayah, I wish only the best for this person, and so on, or for that person. So we're feeling like I must be a baal ayin taiva. I have a good eye.
He thinks, you know what, I am lacking something a little bit, and I probably need to work another week on this. Or I could use another couple of hours. Maybe I need to hear a few mashirim on the subject of Ayin Taiva. And then everything is nice. Everything is fine. So you understand what happens to this person when all of a sudden he's confronted with a real nisayin in that inyan of Ayin Ra and Ayin Taiva. So then he can't believe it, because according to his opinion, he already finished the course. He's already done with Ayin Taiva. He majored and minored, and he's done. And we think the same way about Yiddishkeit, about Hashem, the way we think about finishing something in school. And I mentioned many times, I just mentioned to my wife a few weeks ago, I think so, that we used to have a karlo in Queens, where we learned in the afternoon, a bunch of mechanchim, and there was a very, very sweet fellow that used to clean up there, a janitor. And we were there for years learning Gemara. You know, that's what we did all afternoon. So the fellow one day, he was putting things in order, the chairs, and he said to me, he used to call me Moshe. He said, Moshe, you didn't finish that book yet? When are you going to finish that book? What's with you guys? In other words, like he was saying, I'm not a good reader. I could have done it by now. Right? So in his way of looking at it, you know, it's a big book. And he doesn't know what's taking us so long. He must see us sitting there for so long on one page also. He can't figure it out. So we have this mistake that the same way we think that when it comes to finishing a book or a course, so I've mastered it. So we think that it's like that in Avodas Hashem. It's b'chlal not true. So he says not only that, but Frat, he says, it's very well known and famous. That the mind of the Chidushim was abnormally great. He was a genius of geniuses. Shayodabi, here it says, Kola Shas Vaposkim. He knew with absolute clarity all of Shas and all Poskim. Vayomi Pilpulim Becharifis of Bekias Atzum, and he used to say Pilpulim, unbelievably deep and complicated Pilpulim in learning. Mamish Bekol Chalke Atayr, everything. Everything. Nigla, Nistach, Sidis, everything. He knew everything. Vayvin Shalyochel Lahasi Ketzit Epshal Das Kalzos. We even the greatest Talmidei Chacham couldn't figure out how is it possible for a human being to know as much as the Chidushim knew. The Ketzet Efshel Egila Amkus Atzumakazu. How could a man reach such depth? Kemor Shlo Hayotzum Ben Nizgav Adlat Maod. His mind was very awesome. Mamrish Shlo Ma'ilam Adar HaTeva. Something above this world. V'im Kein Hayitachin Shes Kol HaShas Yochel Ulmai Tei Chodesh. The Chidushim used to review the entire Shas each month. He finished the Shas not in a superficial way, in depth. Once a month, he would finish Shas, the whole Shas. So a person thinks, how is it possible? The man was capable of learning Shas in depth every month. And he had complete mastery over the entire Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaalpeh. And he was a layusluch in the midah of Ayin Taiva. 7 years, he's schlepping around working in Ayin Taiva. And we can't understand it. Nowadays, for a Jew to memorize one blot Gemara, I feel like forget about on a deeper level, forget about Chedushim, not even in depth, just to memorize the words of one page Gemara. Just understand the Pshat. It takes quite a while to memorize one blot Gemara. The culture came perik shalom mesechta shlema. How much more so an entire perik of Shas or a whole mesechta of Shas? The culture came kol Shas kulay, to remember a whole Shas, to memorize. Who could do that? V'afal pichin al midas ayin toiva lo oila hadash and itzuch lavitz man rav kol kach. But when it comes to being a nice guy, an ayin toiva, a mida, so it seems to us that it's bechlal shouldn't be a big deal. It's not a big deal. It should just take a short time. I'm going to work on this mida and I'm going to fix it. But the Chidushim works 7 years. V'afilu l'chayshum shenitzrich lanu l'avayd al ayin toiva afilu rak b'meshach shon achas v'chadoyim. I don't have to even work on it a year. Aval Chidushim haven v'hissig shekol mida mida. The Chidushim was so great, he understood that every single mida is a battle, is a struggle, is a war greater than mastering Shas, which we're going to see later on, that Rabbi Yisrael Salantis Zechet Sager Vrocha said that to fix one mida is much, much harder to fix one meter than learning the entire Shas. So the Chidushim understood that because of his greatness. Therefore, when the Chidushim felt himself slipping into, on his level, whatever that meant, slipping out of the Ayin Taiva mode. He didn't have all of a sudden a Chalishas Das. He didn't fall into sadness or depression that I'm not Matzliach. Because the Chedushim, in his greatness, understood that this is a Malacha. This is the Tachlis of life, is to fight for this. Heaven v'hissik shekal midah midah he'avayda niflah shal shadim al gabi shalim for years and years. V'kach b'meshach kolachai zoichim lasas nachas ruach lavinishu b'shamayim. That's the nachas ruach we give the Rebbein Shalom. It's the same thing with taking care of the children and raising a family. So everybody's thinking, now that I'm a grandmother, a grandfather, now I have perfect midas. It's chaval. I didn't have such good midas when I was bringing up the kids. They'd be much better off if I had better midas when I was younger. It's not true. It's just that when you're older, you don't have the kind of nisyonis that the little ones give you. You don't have the nisyonis anymore, those kind of difficulties and tests, because to be a grandparent is generally kulei nachas. To be a grandparent it's wonderful. But if it becomes difficult, so then the children can go back home. But to be a grandparent, generally speaking, if everybody is well, Bez Hashem, to be a grandparent is nachas. It's nachas. It's a mechai. So you're thinking, look, I'm such a wonderful person, because when Lil Yankel, my grandson, is acting up, look how I talk so patiently. But you're thinking, but my daughter, she reminds me of when I was young. Look how impatient she is. She's not as good as me, because I already perfected all my midas. It's not true. It's just that Yankel is no longer your rishus. So it doesn't count that much. Just like I am always able to give good eitzes to other parents. So I give eitzes to other parents. When it comes to my own children, I'm a lo yutzlich. I'm telling you the truth. So when it comes to, because why? No, to give an eitzah, or you see some another kid screaming and yelling. So you become such a chacham and such a tzaddik, you say, you know, he's only a child. What, do you have to lose your temper? You see another parent yelling at a kid, you think, what's the matter with you? But if it's your own child, why? You never fix that midah. It's a melcham of your whole life, that midah of patience. I now that you know that, thank God you're already 70, 80, 90 years old, so you don't have those same nisyonis with the children. It's not a riot that you fix the midah necessarily. It's just that it's not being tested. And if the system's not being tested, then there's no failure. But if it's being tested, and you have the kaitis, the same way that for a very old person to say about himself, Baruch Hashem, I no longer have taivis for those things that I see the young people are running after. That doesn't mean you were misgabra in your taivis. That doesn't mean that you were successful in defeating that yetzara. It just means that you're a little bit over a bottle, you know. That's all. But it doesn't mean that you were misgabra in the taiva. Hisgabra's in a taiva. It's not a small thing. Hisgabra's in a taiva. So as we know from Perek and Pirkeovitz, there are different taivas at different ages. For an older person, it could be COVID. COVID could be a bigger taiva. And if the mechutin, the mechatenis, they said something like that, COVID. So there's not a taiva anymore for the young people of taivas, but COVID, for older people, is a bigger taiva than for a young person. So, it's not that there was a tikkun. It's just that right now, the enemy is not, the enemy hasn't confronted you. It has a different levush. It has a different garment, that's all. So the Chidushim understood that this is something that goes on for years. And that's the Nachas Ruach as we learned last week, the last few weeks. That's the Nachas Ruach, Adarab. That Milcham is the Nachas Ruach. When is the time that you finally are able to laugh? It's about Tishchak. It's only Le'yam Achran. The last day is when you could live. And not even the whole last day. And not even the last minute. Not even the last minute. There was a Maisa from Chayza from Lublin. There was a Yid in Lublin. There was a very big Eved Hashem, a big tzaddik. And he was an honest Jew. And he was just about to leave the world, lo aleinu. He was just that last moment. And the Chayza wanted to know, that last moment of a person's life, is there still a Yetzirah? Now, usually you wouldn't like to ask such a question of a person. It's not nice. But the Chayza knew that this Jew was an Emes Degiyid. So the Chayza said to him, whatever, Moshe, Rav Moshe, do you still have a Yetzirah? Rav Moshe was just about a Geisis, you know, this Neshama was leaving. Do you have a Yetzirah?
And he started to whisper, and the Chayzer leaned down and put his ear, and he listened. And then the Yid said, Shema Yisrael, afterwards, and died. So the Chayzer said, you know what he told me? He said that Avada is a Yetzar. The Yetzar is that I should say, Gevaldig Shema Yisrael, that everybody will be talking about it for years to come. This Shema Yisrael that I said, who? Even then, Batisach L'Yayim Achrein, Mamish, to the last second. But that's the Nachas Ruach of the Rebbein Shalom. That's his Nachas Ruach. And by the way, Agav Urcha, the children that have to struggle with the difficult midas generally are not appreciated as the ones who are successful, yeah? And this is a problem. This is a problem that we bring into our children's lives. Because we are hard on ourselves and we're hard on the kids. So when you see a child that's already Muchen and Mzumen, so then you say, the children feel this is the one who gives me Nachas. But the child who has to work so hard, just to be a nice person, just to try to answer in a respectful way, and when that child was Maslich in that Milchama, the child doesn't feel that appreciation of a parent. And it makes a reshim of the child that my Milchamas are meaningless, my wars are meaningless, Mommy and Daddy don't understand me. They don't know how hard it is for me to be this way. Because for the other brother, the other sister, it comes much easier. And Mommy and Daddy don't know that for me to have acted this way today was a milchama ad lev ha-shamayim. And if they don't have that, if we don't recognize that, then we're all having problems recognizing these things. So the result is that the child stops wanting to fight because the child doesn't feel appreciated for the milchamas. The children learn that they're appreciated for their successes, not for their milchamas. And that's not a Jewish approach. It's simply not Jewish. And we've been very much influenced over the years of our galus by this non-Jewish way of looking at things. The inyan of tikkun hamidus, there's no shir, there's no saif. It doesn't end. Every second that I work on a midah, every second that I'm trying and I'm challenged by something, I am involved in that mitzvah of a devakta boy, trying to be like Hashem and be attached to Hashem. He dobek b'midosav, going in his ways, trying to be the person who resembles the Rebbein Shalom, kivyachal. V'cheshem shakadosh baruch hu ein soif. The tzaddik here explains that just like Hashem is infinite, he's ein soif, he's without end. There's no end to my struggling to be like him, because he is without end. Therefore, there is no end to my efforts to be more like him. There's no end. There's no shir. You've never reached there. You've never gotten there. The Talmud Evshel Liskeis Lishalis Yosef Yosef Edelkeit. The Dibur. Therefore, the Chiddushim said it took him 7 years. He also didn't mean that he was done with it. He meant that apparently he meant to reach a certain inyan that he was trying to reach. But one's entire life, one struggles for more edelkeit with speaking, more gentleness and refinement. Elishalas Yosef Yosef be edelkeit ban hage, to behave in a more refined and edel way. Elishalas Yosef Yosef be edelkeit machshava, that my way of thinking should be more refined. It's life's work. And I'm remembering now, there's a certain student of mine, she's now married with a family. She went through a lot of tzaras, this person, who had an inyan in life, and who still, I haven't spoken to her in over a year, but she lives in Yerushalayim. Her nisayon in life, and it sounded, when I first heard it, it sounded a little bit odd, but her nisayon in life is trying to get the dishes out of the sink. You know, they don't have a dishwasher in their place in Yerushalayim, and trying, not that it should be spotless, but by her own description and her husband's, that it shouldn't be an unbelievable mess. And this person, in every other respect, is a brilliant, accomplished, creative, poetic person. A chosh of a woman. And this inyan was bringing her down so much, I can't describe it to you. I can't even describe.
the milchama that she has with this inyan, and how it makes her feel totally inadequate. It makes her feel like a total failure in life. And it's, and she's been helped and is being helped by somebody wonderful in this inyan. And her husband used to remind her that she's taka failing terribly in this inyan. And she was falling into a pit of despair that I can't even describe to you. Somebody who in every other respect is wonderful and is matzliach. And in this inyan of nikiyus, of nikayon, of cleaning, which is a midah also, ben hamidus. Nikiyus is one of the midahs, is also to be mesudah, to be in nikiyah, to be clean, and to be mesudah is also a midah. In this inyan, this was a milchama. And it still is a milchama. And Baruch Hashem, she made a lot of progress with a lot of help. But for somebody who's not in that war, it would be hard to understand. Ad kedei kach? How could that be? And she would describe to me, Bariches, how she would like, she would, I said, so like, you know, I would try to talk to her, so what happens after supper? You know, what? So she said, well, she does like one or two things, and then she likes to read. So she was describing this to me, you know, the day, and I was trying to talk to her about maybe time management, not that I'm such a, you know, a mumcha, but I was trying to talk to her about, you know, maybe try first to get past one stage in the kitchen. How comes 7 to 7:30, dedicate that time, strong. So I'm talking to her about this like for an hour. 2 weeks later, so how's it going, 7 to 7:30? Nah, didn't work out. And it's hard to understand if you're not in that. If that's not your nisayin, it's hard to understand. But if it is your nisayin, you can't look at anything else in life. It torments you. That's what it is. So, therefore, what he's saying here is instead of becoming depressed by having to work at this, l'chein aleinu l'hachshiv l'yakeh kol hashtadlus, to realize the chshivas and the preciousness, the yakras of what? Kol pe'ula ktana, any little effort from 7 o'clock to 7:05, any little effort. Shezoichim lasas binyan tikkun amidus, and inyan of tikkun amidus. And to be honest with oneself, doesn't mean to play a game and not care. Ki kol mashu shalom demalzeh, any effort you make in learning the inyan. And kol pam shemishtavim lizgarbal amidah roshu oivet alek eis. Harizek kvar revach otzim v'niflul anetzach netzachim. It is a wondrous revach, a profit, something that you've profited, something that you've achieved, something that Hashem recognizes, l'netzach nitzachim, for eternity. V'yaduah mi Rabbi Yisrael Salantis, chus egin l'shalav al midah achas, as I mentioned before, k'roi harei zei yoseh koshm l'tzayim skol ha-shas kula, that working on one midah and lifting oneself up on one midah is harder than finishing a whole shas. M'kenke, shem shalei oyle b'das afech, and no one would ever think, shav shalei tzayim skol ha-shas b'yamecha, that it's possible to finish shas in one day, v'loi b'shuvu echad, or in 1 week, or after reading one book. Now they don't even make the fat books anymore. Now you can buy, they have these little books, right? And you're supposed to be good after reading one of the little books. It's like they have Lahavdil in the secular world. So my students in school are showing me they have for everything now a whole series for dummies. Philosophy for dummies. Chemistry for dummies. Political science for dummies. Atlas for dummies, for dummies. So they have a little bichel. And this is supposed to be, on some level, like, you know, you've mastered all of the history of Western civilization. And more, this is what's going on, you know, the dumbing down of America, Bechlal, and the watering down of education, Bechlal, of everything. So everything has to be on one page, everything has to be in one little thing, and on one crib sheet. Everything has to have all the information, it has to be all there, and has to be mastered and known. And the idea that I have to make ishtadlis and yagiyah, and the feeling that I don't know something yet, is something which doesn't go well in America. It's not popular in America. America is extremely, as I mentioned last week, is very, very much product-oriented. You have to produce. If you're at work for 6 months and they want to see what you've accomplished at work, and you say, and you tell them, I've tried very hard, you're not going to have your job anymore. You have to be able to show something for you, a lot. Even if you try less, but you have to show something. Therefore, he says, lo b'shavua echad, not 1 week. You don't finish shas in a week, a day. When it comes to fixing a midah, ain't the nasav yom echad, loy b'shavu echad, loy b'chaydish echad, not a week, not a day, not a month. Uchashem shel achas yehudi mesayim kol hashas. So Adai, not only that, but after a Jew was zeichet to finish shas, he realizes. Rav Moshe Feinstein used to sit there going over mishnayos. Rav Moshe Feinstein finished shas many, many, many times. And every time he finished shas, nochamal, again on a deeper level, on a deeper level, with more honesty and more truth, Rav Moshe would learn shas. So he says the same thing. All of life, lachzor zeh kol yom avayid va'ayid. V'lo mitzini yehudi shesiyim es hashas v'yoyim es hashuv. Next page. Ein hutzorach lachzor zeh klal. Have you ever met a Jew who has finished shas and come to a point where he says, Baruch Hashem, I'm done. I'm finished. Gemara. I don't have to work at all. I don't have to learn anymore. No such thing. Kach gam afilo achre shemisayim lavad al midah achas. So it is with life. And you finished. You think you worked on this midah. Afilo emnayim shetiknu. Even if you think that you've come to see him in this midah, you've finished this midah, you've worked on it, you've mastered it. You have to chaz it over to the last day and work on it. And you'll find yourself challenged by it till the end of your life. It's not just one shas, it's not just one midah, it's many midahs. Im kain hare afilo mishasim is kol hashas, maven shadayin lo seem bezes kol chelke atayr. Even someone who finished the Bavli, Shas Bavli, knows he didn't. Yushalmi, Mechilta, Tesefta, Midrashim, Rambam, Tur, Shulchan Aruch, Poskim, Musar, Kabbalah, see, there's no end. Because Hashem is infinite. Therefore, His Torah is infinite. And Hashem's goodness is infinite. And we're not. And no one told us that we have to be. But to be a Jew means to go on struggling, to go on living the days of our lives. Ad Hayyim Achron, to the very last day. Therefore, hey, the tzaddikim here ishu va'iru balabas eish koydis. The tzaddikim was screaming and yelling and made great rash noise about this inyan. Shalafam ba yetsim afatis adam shi'alum ayin mikol amidas rois. Now listen. Now it's going to seem like it's just the opposite. Listen to what he says now. Sometimes the etzar comes in a different way, but really it's from the same place. Where does the etzar come now? And it says like this: shi'alum ayin mikol amidas rois. Don't pay attention to your bad midas at all. Don't pay any attention to them. Why? Because you were told that it's a big inyan to be b'simcha. Mitzvah gadol l'elias b'simcha tamid. Therefore, I'm going to completely overlook, bypass, neglect all the things that are wrong with me, because I don't want to share my simcha. I want to always be b'simcha. So this is a different kind of yetzahar. Aval ha'emes yahepech ha'gomer. This is the best introduction to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, to Elul Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. There is no conflict between working on yourself, doing tshuva, and being b'simcha. Even though, from the time that we're children, many people associate tshuva with something depressing. And this, when you start hearing about Rosh Hashanah, it gets to the end of August, it starts to get to Elul, so everybody says, oh no, it becomes that sad, depressing time. God forbid, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Elul is the greatest simcha, is the happiest time of the entire year. So why do we think like this? Because in our silly little minds, there's a conflict between simcha, right, and what? And working on myself, tshuva. And acknowledging and being honest with myself, there's a contradiction. That's such a sheker, it's such a silliness. When a Jew realizes that the fact that I've discovered something disgusting in myself, that doesn't mean that I'm worthless. That doesn't mean that I'm a nobody. It means that I'm watching this stable, right? I'm working for the king, and that I have a milchama, and that the king has thrown this my way, and that I have to work more. And if I have a bigger yetzar, it's because I'm a bigger Jew this year. It's because the Baruch Hashem loves me. He trusts, like I told you, that he trusts that I could fight in this war. That Hashem is helping me uncover the zoo inside of me, the gan chayas, the animals, the 70 kingdoms, and all the chayas. So that I'll be able to grab hold and to ride upon them, and to create a chariot for the Master of the Universe. Like a loving and compassionate parent or father or mother who shows what his beloved child, so
So let's say the child was playing with some little toys of models of animals, and he lost some of the chayes. The father finds the little toy, tiger or whatever, or bear. And he says to the child, I found the chayah. I found the behemoth that you lost. Here's the behemoth. Here's the toy. Take hold of it, he says to his child. Kach mamish Hashem Yisbarach. Mayer alone of the Baruch Shalom, he shows you that behemoth, that chayah inside of you. Shenira Oid Bal Chai Shabarach. The Baruch Shalom says, Sarala, here's one that got away from you. And you'd like to say, no, 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 it can't be, I'm finished with that, I don't want to think about it, I want to just be Besimcha. So your father, the Baruch Shalom, says, I'm not telling you shouldn't be Besimcha, Adarabba, I'm helping you to find the Chaya and to give it into your hand, that you should be able to control it and work on it and to know that it's something, it's a problem. Davka through this holy work, take another 5 minutes. Davka through this holy work, to be able to make that cheshbon and nefesh elu, Rosh Hashanah, to find the chayes, legalis aysam, and reveal them, litpais aysam, to catch them, to trap them, lirkav aleihem, and now to ride them, to serve Hashem with them. Zemevi lonu bez Hashem is brachas simcha amitis apnimis. That brings a Jew to the greatest joy. Because joy and simcha comes from feeling that you're in control of your life. From feeling that what? That you're baldover, you're balabas. You're what? You're somebody that's working. You're accomplishing. You're growing. You're getting someplace. The greatest simcha with a Jew is what? With meat and with wine. What does that mean? In Chassidus we're taught, meat and wine, what's the simcha? For many people, boss I like, yayin I can't stand. Many people don't like either of them, right? So what does it mean? The simcha is the boss of a yayin. So the tzaddikim tor hainu. B'kol ma'ashu she'zoichim la'asas is v'tzayin Hashem Yisbarach b'ninei boss. It means, any second of my life that I'm zoiche, that I am zoiche to do something in the life, in my life of the flesh, in physical things, to fix, to work. B'gashmias, b'gufonias. U'b'yayin is what? Wine. Is al nichnas yayin yetzei sod. You know that wine brings out the secrets, which means that I find one of the secrets, I find something inside of myself that's not so good. I find there's something, a secret that I've been keeping that's not so beautiful. Shekidua, yayin begematria sod. We know that yayin is 70, which equals the word sod, secret. Hainu shebechol pam shemagalim oid mashu. When I discover that there's something more in that world of busser, of flesh, of tithes. And there's something in the world of yayin, wine, which is what? The side, some secret, dark thing inside of me that I'm reminded of. I have a simcha. What's the simcha? It brings to the greatest joy. The greatest simcha. In the beginning when you find it, and I'm going to end here for tonight. In the beginning when you find it, it doesn't make you feel good. Let's not kid ourselves. When it's pointed out, if it's pointed out by yourself, to yourself, it's a halbitzar. The worst thing is when someone points out something about you, to you, and after trying to get over the hurt of how dare that person notice my imperfection, after getting over the hurt, if you're an honest person to confront that the truth, that's really a problem with you, so it's not comfortable, you don't feel good. Where does that come? That's why we associate tshuva with something said. It's not true. Let me read to you from the 8th chapter of the Arisa Tshuva from Rav Kook. It's just mamish 2 more minutes. From the 8th chapter, the first paragraph in the Arisa Tshuva, which has been translated to English. The English is not so good. The Hebrew is much nicer. Rav Kook said like this. The pain felt in the initial inspiration to Tshuva is due to the severance of the evil layers of the self. It's an operation. So you feel pain. Anytime you operate, anytime you cut something away, it hurts. Which cannot be mended as long as they are attached to and remain part of the person. There's something wrong inside of you. It's mixed into you. It's attached. And you're trying to cut it away. You know, that hurts. And cause deterioration of the whole spirit. Through tshuva, they are severed from the basic essence of the self. Every severance causes pain. Every time you cut something away, it hurts. The same thing when you try to take yourself away from something that's wrong. Face, whatever that might be. Television or novels, whatever it is that's not pure and holy. It hurts to take yourself away from something.
every severance causes pain. Like the pain felt at the amputation of deteriorated organs for medical reasons. This is the most inward kind of pain. Listen to how Rav Kook, so beautiful, every word. It's much nicer in Hebrew. But listen. This is the most inward kind of pain. This is the most noble pain, through which a person is liberated from the dark servitude to his sins and his lowly inclinations and their bitter after effects. It's a noble type of pain, because this is a pain that frees you from all that is ugly, that's holding you back from being who you want to be. It hurts, avad it hurts. But afterwards, the simcha is meredith. And even in the pain, Rav Kook is saying, a wise person already tastes the simcha. We learn this from the law, from the halacha that liberates a slave if he lost a tooth or an eye on being struck by his master. Do you hear how deep this is? Rav Kook says that according to halacha, you know, that if there's a slave, if the master knocks out his eye or knocks out his tooth, he's free. So you know that, he's free. So what does that mean? It means that becoming free hurts. It means it's the pain of having something inside yourself knocked out, torn out. That operation initially causes pain. Initially causes pain. A couple of chapters later, in chapter 15, in the ninth paragraph, the desire for tshuva. Listen how beautiful. The desire for tshuva, which always abides with a person, inside a Jew, there is always that desire, that will to change, to do tshuva, is the source of all his virtuous attributes. It's the source of all that's good about you. The depressing thought that is released from the deep domain of tshuva is the source of joy. Tshuva releases that. The basic disposition to tshuva is inspired by the sense of the awesome perfection of the divine. When a person thinks, Gevalt, Hashem is so perfect, and look at me. And it is this that causes sin to be glaringly conspicuous. When you measure yourself, if you measure yourself by some idiot that lives next door, so then you never want to, you never feel that you have to do tshuva. I'm much better than the idiot next door. I'm much better. So therefore, I don't have to. There are no chayis inside of me. The haraya, look at the chayis that my next door neighbor has. Therefore, this person doesn't want to tshuva. What causes tshuva? What initiates tshuva? When one really measures oneself vis-a-vis the creator of the world. When you see, then what happens is that causes the sin to be glaringly conspicuous. You have placed our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. In the light of Hashem's presence, you see those iniquities. You see the ugliness. But that's a chesed. The very realization that the feeling of being in a state of sin comes, in every case, as a result of a divine illumination acting on the soul. That Hashem is shining a light of His being into you. And now you're beginning to see, Gevalt, I'm nothing compared to the Master of the world. Look at me, what's wrong with me? Hashem's shining a light into you. It hurts. But if you realize that, the same hand that's causing you that pain should be kissed. This very thought engenders endless joy and exaltation. The spiritual delight grows together with the depressed feeling in the heart. It grows together with the sadness, the depressed feeling in the heart of the one who's involved in the process of tshuva. Tshuva, according to this, affects liberation for the particular individual. As the divine illumination grows in him, he is liberated from every servitude to the alien forces that have come to dominate his life. It's Rav Kook. That's not depressing. Rosh Hashanah is not depressing. Yom Kippur is the Yom HaKadosh, is the biggest simcha of the year. El Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is the biggest simcha. Because Hashem Ori V'Yishi, there's no other time of the year where Hashem is shining that light of His perfection into your heart, and for that moment you begin to measure yourself vis-a-vis His light. Ki Imcha B'kor Chayim, Ba'or Chanir Ha'or. And Hashem, in your light I will see light. Not to run away from it. In your light, I will see light. I will see what? First, I will see the pain of my imperfection, but then I will see the light of your love for me. Like that father, that mother that gives the child the chaya and says, this is your chaya, but you can control this chaya. You can be victorious. And every single second of your effort to on that path towards victory, and there might not ever be a victory, but every single second that you spend on that path, in that war, brings me, your father, the greatest nachas ruach, the greatest joy, the greatest nachas, infinitely greater than that person who you're envious of, who didn't have to work hard in that midah, who didn't have to struggle with that tshuva. Infinitely greater is the simcha of mokum shabalit tshuva oimdim, sadikim gemurim, eni michalim lamed. that what? That in the place of Bali Tshuva, even the greatest tzaddikim can't stand in that place, can't be in that place. So awesome is that place. We'll continue Bez Hashem next week. Shkoyach.